So now we get into a discussion about mitzvos shebein adam lachaveiro. On Yom Kippur, of course, we have to do tshuva for different kinds of averos that we've done. Some of the mitzvos and averos in the Torah are what we refer to as bein adam lamakom, which are between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Other ones are bein adam lachaveiro, between us and another human being. So let's see. The Mishnah writes in Maseches Yuma in the 8th Perek, Mishnah Tes, Ki bayom hazeh yichaper aleichem mikol chatoseichem lefnei Hashem titaru. On this day, on Yom Kippur, bayom hazeh, Hashem will be mechaper us. Hashem will be metahar us. Reb Soloveitchik has a discussion about what's the difference between kapara and tahara. Very interesting piece that he has. He basically says, let's say somebody hurts you. Let's take, for example, our relationships, interpersonal relationships. Somebody hurts you. So then they apologize. Fine, I accept their apology, I get it. Do I want to be friendly with them moving forward? No. It's not that I hold a grudge against them. It's not that I'm still angry at them. It's just I'm not interested in being friendly with you. You are that kind of person. You've proven that you're that kind of person. I don't want to be close to you. So the difference here is, Rav Soloveitchik says, kapara means when I ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to forgive me. And tahara means when beyond that I say, after you've forgiven me, are you interested in now redeveloping a new relationship with me, or are you so sick of me because of what I've done wrong that you want to stay far away from me? That's the difference between kapara and tahara. Very interesting distinction. But either way, the Rambam says over here that Yom Kippur is mechaper. Now, says the Rambam, says the Mishnah, Avero sheben adam lachavero, ein Yom HaKippur mechaper ad sheiratzes chaver. However, this is limited. The power of Yom Kippur is limited. The only thing that Yom Kippur is able to do is absolve me of mitzvos shebin adam lamakom. So, like the Shulchan Aruch says, if I ate something that wasn't kosher, if I did things that I shouldn't have done, if I didn't say Kriya Shema one day, I didn't daven as I should, or whatever it might be, I was mechal Shabbos, all of that, Yom Kippur is able to be mechaper. By the way, this is not a magic potion. It means if somebody does tshuva on Yom Kippur, then Yom Kippur is mechaper. This is not just magic that we say Yom Kippur swoops in and gets rid of all the problems. So then Yom Kippur is going to be mechaper. But if a person did something which we refer to as bein adam lachaveiro, if I slighted another human being, then we assume that ein Yom HaKippur mechaper ad sheiratzes chaveiro. Yom Kippur is not able to absolve me of what I've done wrong unless I go and I actually speak to my friend and work it out with them. Now, the Shulchan Aruch quotes this lahalacha, and the Shulchan Aruch adds a line, and he says, afilu, and I think for our generation this is so important, writes the Shulchan Aruch, afilu lo hiknito ela bidvarim sarach lefaiso. Says the Shulchan Aruch, even if the only thing I did to my friend is hiknito bidvarim, means I said something nasty to that person, you'll say, what's the big deal? I just made a comment. Says the Shulchan Aruch, words can be very, very hurtful. Let's translate the Shulchan Aruch into our generation. Tweets can be very, very hurtful. Facebook posts, comments on other people's posts, responding, sending a text can be very hurtful. And even that, sarach lefaiso, we have to be very mindful of the fact that people can get hurt. But what's clear in the Shulchan Aruch is that when I talk about an aveira shebein adam lachaveiro, we are not only expected to do tshuva by reconciling with the other person, there is also an aspect of the bein adam lamakom that is involved in it as well. We assume, the way the Rush explains it and others, we assume that when I hurt another person, I'm not only damaging them, I am also hurting HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And therefore, there's a two-pronged tshuva that is necessary when somebody violates an avera shebein adam lachaveiro. I have to do tshuva first and foremost, primarily with that person. Beyond that, I also have to do tshuva and work it out with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I've decided to hurt one of his children, that I've done something wrong to another human being. Okay, if one looks in the Shulchan Aruch, you will see, again, a discussion about this as well. One avera shebein adam lachaveiro, the Rambam writes, is the avera of gezel. Says the Rambam as follows, in Perek Beis, Hilchos Tshuva Lachates. Ein ha-tshuva v'lo Yom HaKippur mechaprim, ela avera shebein adam lamakom, aval avera shebein adam lachaveiro kigon achov el eschaveiro. If I injure my friend, or mekalel eschaveiro, if I curse my friend, o gozlo, or I steal from him, eino nimchal lo leolam. I will never get a tshuva for that until ad sheyitin lachaveiro mashu chayv lo v'yiratzeyu. I was involved, there was a car accident, people were arguing about what happened, what didn't happen, and it was clear to me that one of the parties was lying. They were afraid of their parents, they smashed up the car, they didn't want to tell the other person. They're literally making up a story. I didn't know who, but one of them for sure had to make up a story. There's no way that both of their stories were correct. I'm thinking to myself, they're going to come Yom Kippur, and the Rambam says over here that when you're gozel mechadero, when you steal something from another person, eino nimchalo li olam ad sheyitin lechadero mashu chayiv lo v'yiratzeyu. Nothing to talk about. You have not granted yourself a mechila until you go and return that which you have stolen. I recently had a case where there was a very, very messy divorce, and it was really dragging on for no good reason, absolutely no good reason at all. And I'm not going to say the husband or the wife does make a difference, but whoever was dragging it through, knowing that there were really claims that made no sense, that really there was no basis to anything that they were bringing up in court, and it was costing the other spouse tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars. They were racking up a major legal bill. And at some point, the other spouse was claiming that, okay, you know, it's been a while already. It's been a while since we went through this divorce, and now I did my tshuva. And I asked my father, like, is it true that after you cause someone so much pain, dragging them through the mud and bringing them to court over and over again, is it true that a person can just say, like, yeah, it's been a couple of years, now it's time, you know, I did my tshuva? So my father made a comment to me, and he said, the tshuva process doesn't even begin until the spouse in question returns all the money from the legal fees. If that doesn't happen, then tshuva doesn't even get off the ground. We're not at first base. There's nothing to discuss. So long as the person is still out the money, then the tshuva process has not yet begun. Says the Rambam, you can go 1,000 Yom Kippurs. Eino nimcha lo liolam ad sheyitin lachavero mashu huchayiv lo v'yiratzei. Where's this coming from? This is from a Gemara Baba Kama. The Gemara says in Baba Kama Tzadi Beis, if I steal money from another person or I damage another person's property, I will not get a mechila ad sheyivakish mimenu until I go and I actually discuss it with that person and I work it out with them. I return it or I make some kind of payment plan, something. I figure out how to make up that which I have made them lose. Now, when describing one who tries to grant to get a mechila from others, the Gemara talks about a very formal process in doing so. The Gemara Maseches Yuma Daf Pei Zayin writes, Amar Rav Chisda, Tzarech Lefaiso B'Shalosh Shuros Shel Shlosha B'nei Adam. Quite a cryptic Gemara, doesn't really describe exactly what it means, but the Gemara says that the way to grant yourself a mechila from another person who you may have hurt is to have Shalosh Shuros Shel Shlosha B'nei Adam. What exactly does that mean? So the Rambam expands on this Gemara, and the Rambam elaborates as follows. What happens if I'm trying to grant myself a mechila from somebody who I have hurt? V'lo ratza chaveiro limcholo, like Meital said before, and the other person does not want to forgive me. Now, your case was a little different because you were saying that the other person says they forgive me, and really they don't. But we're talking over here where the person explicitly says, you know, I'm just not in a position to forgive you right now. I'm not in a position to forgive you. I had somebody who was, it's a terrible, terrible story. Lo aleichem velo aleinu. This woman was molested by her father for 6 years. And she was never able to disclose the information to anyone in the family. She was afraid. At some point, she disclosed it to her mother. The mother divorced her husband right away, threw him out of the house. Whatever, they pressed charges, they didn't press charges, doesn't matter. Whatever it is, she's ruined for life. She's ruined for life because of what he did. Okay. She cut her father out of her life, which is the right thing to do. The father, Baruch Hashem, this woman got engaged, got married, has children. She's doing very well. She still has a lot of emotional trauma because of what she went through, but she's doing very, very well. Baruch Hashem, a major success story. And she had asked me along the way, should my father, you know, be invited to the wedding? Should my father be invited to the bris? And I discussed it with my father. And I mean, the way I presented it to him was, yes. Every father and mother have a right to be at their child's wedding so long as they treat their child like a child. But you have lost your parental rights. You have treated your child not like a child. You have destroyed your child. So you can't turn around now and say, oh, now that you have a lot of nachas to show, and now that you're getting married, and now that you're having children, I want to be involved. No, you don't deserve to be involved. You have no business being in this woman's life. Get away from her and stay away. Okay, so the woman went a bunch of years without hearing from her father, speaking to him. And then all of a sudden, Erev Yom Kippur, the father called out of nowhere. He said, I got your number from someone, and I called, and I'm asking Mechila, and I want you to be Mochel me. It's Erev Yom Kippur, and you know that the Rambam says that somebody who's not granting mechila to another person is called an achzari, is called evil. The woman called me, literally, she was so emotionally traumatized from this phone call. Basically, her father is continuing to abuse her. So he's putting it on her, and he's saying, because I want to feel at peace with myself for all the terrible things that I've done, so I want to ask your mechila. And because you don't want to grant me mechila, I'm going to call you an achzari. Right? So what are you doing? You're furthering the abuse. You're continuing to put yourself further into it. So the woman called me and she's crying, Erev Yom Kippur, what am I supposed to do? My father called, should I be mochalim? I said, absolutely not. What do you mean should I be mochalim? What kind of mechila? What does that mean? He ruined your life. He ruined your life. You're emotionally traumatized forever. In 20, 30 years from now, is it going to be different? I don't know. Speak to your therapist. Maybe then it will be different. Right now, you're not at a point of life where you're prepared to forgive him. You're not prepared to forgive him. I remember a couple of years ago, we had another very unfortunate situation where a woman was sexually molested by her father, but it was like 30 or 40 years ago. It's a long time ago. And now, basically, they lost total contact with the father. And now, somebody informed them that the father was very sick and he was going to die very shortly afterward. And the question was, do they have to sit Shiva for their father, who they haven't spoken to in 35 years? And who, by no means, do they want any friends coming to their house to be Menachem Avel and to talk to them about their father, who they hate, who ruined their lives. That was another very, very difficult, very painful Shaila, but these things happen. The question is, do I always have to grant everyone Mechila? I'm going to get to that in a few minutes. Are there exceptions to the rule when I don't have to grant Mechila? But says the Rambam, what happens if I go and I ask Mechila, and I ask Mechila again, and I'm very sincere, I'm very genuine about it, and the person is being unreasonable, and it's not like we're talking about where I damaged him to such a point where I don't deserve Mechila, but something happened, we had a disagreement, we had a dispute, whatever it is, I said something, I did something, and by all normal measures, you should forgive at some point. And the person is just not willing to forgive. Says the Rambam, in that case, we say, you have done your part, you have tried, you were sincere, you put yourself out, you tried, person is not willing to accept, and it's unreasonable that they're not willing to accept. Says the Rambam, in that case, Zeh shelo machal hu achote, the tables turned, and the one who is being so stubborn and not willing to forgive, he is the one who is then being the chote. He is the one who is then doing something wrong because he is not granting you a mechila. Okay, what's clear from this is, the way the Achronim explain it is, that part of the process of mechila, part of the process of tshuva, is to humble myself, is to go through that experience of lowering myself to the other person, admitting to my sin, admitting to my mistake, admitting to my guilt, and recognizing that I'm not the person that I thought I was, recognizing that I'm not all that, I'm not so chashuv, and I'm not so important, and I'm human like everybody else, and I make mistakes, and I do things wrong, and I'm willing to own up to the mistakes. And that's part of the process, is that somewhat humiliation that I have to go through is something that is a necessary component to the experience of tshuva as it stands. So that is the way the Achronim explain it. And they bring a raya from the Gemara in Maseches Yuma. The Gemara is a very interesting story. The Gemara tells us that Rav once had a very difficult interaction with the local butcher. And the Gemara says that the butcher never came to ask Rav Mechila. Rav was treated very inappropriately by the butcher. And the butcher never asked Rav for Mechila. Okay, says the Gemara that on Erev Yom Kippur, Rav went to the butcher shop and stood right in front of the door to the butcher shop and allowed the butcher to come and ask him mechila. And the butcher refused. The butcher was being stubborn, and he would not ask Rav for mechila. So the Gemara says, what a tzaddik Rav was, that he went out of his way to stand in front of the butcher shop and give the butcher an opportunity to do tshuva. Nu, what's your kasha on the story? Very obvious question you should have on the story. I'll start the question for you. Okay, here's the beginning of the question. I need someone to finish it off for me. If Rav is such a tzaddik, then what should he have done? Yeah? Yonina, what do you say? What should he have done?
Maybe not go and ask him, because if the point is to humble yourself, then he should come, the butcher should come out to Rav.
No. You're too ahead. You're too advanced. Much simpler question. The question is, if Rav is such a tzaddik and he's willing to forgo his own bizayon or whatever it is that this butcher did to him, then just be mochel him. If you're such a tzaddik, just sit in your living room and say, you know, I'm really, I want everybody to know that whatever the butcher did to me, I'm mochel him, and it doesn't matter, and it's fine, and the butcher would get away with it. What do you have to go Erev Yom Kippur and wait in front of his store and give him the opportunity and that he doesn't show, he doesn't come? Why go through that whole thing? Just be mochel him. And the answer is, it seems that an integral part of tshuva, ben adam l'chaveru, is to lower myself to the other person. So Rav said, you think I care what this man did to me? I don't care. But I have to give him the opportunity to go through the process of tshuva. So Rav goes in front of his store, and Rav allows him to have the opportunity to just stand there and say he was sorry to Rav, and the man couldn't bring himself to do it. The man couldn't bring himself to do it, which means he's not about tshuva. That means you're not really sorry for what you did because you're not prepared to lower yourself to admit to the fact that maybe you have done something wrong. And that is what the Gemara proves from the story of Rav himself. When we talk about Bein Adam L'Chaveru and things that go wrong between two individuals, between two parties, so there is a very famous dispute between the Chafetz Chaim and Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. What is the halacha if I have wronged another person, but that other person does not know what I've done wrong to them? So now I need to do tshuva, which means I need to go discuss it with them. But if I discuss it with them, it's going to hurt them even more. I'm going to have to tell them what I said about them. I'm going to have to tell them how I hurt them and what I did wrong. So if the person already knows, if they're well aware of what I've done wrong, so then, of course, I have to do tshuva by going and discussing it with them. But the Chafetz Chaim says, how is it possible that I should go to that person and hurt them even more by telling them something that they're not even aware that I was hurtful to them about? What kind of tshuva is that? So that was a discussion, that was a dispute between Rabbi Yisrael Salanter and the Chafetz Chaim. Does it make sense that I should go ahead and share and disclose something that I said negatively about another person when I know that that itself is going to be hurtful to them? I put on here, you can read a little bit about it on the sheet later, a very interesting machlokas. Are there ever situations where I do not have an obligation to accept someone's request for mechila? Now, first of all, when you get the mass text on Erev Yom Kippur, you mochel me for everything I ever done in my whole life to whoever it might be in the whole world, but this is very personal. So that is not something that is called a bakashas mechila. That's not sincere. There's nothing real about it. I don't even respond to those things. There's no reason to respond. It's meaningless. It doesn't mean anything. People just text you out of nowhere. If you feel there's something you need to work out, then come talk to me. Until then, I don't know. I don't think that there's any value in any of those texts or those emails. That really doesn't mean anything. Okay, so let's move beyond that. We're talking about people who are very sincere about asking for mechila. Are there ever times that me, as the one who is hurt, does not have to grant it to them? That's a very important question. So the Gemara tells in Maseches Yuma a story about Rav. What's the story about Rav? So the Gemara says that Rav was once giving a shiur. And in the middle of the shiur, students came in late. And every time a student came in late, Rav decided he didn't want them to lose out on the flow of the shiur. He wanted them to be able to follow. So he started the shiur over. And then 5 minutes later, another student walked in. So he started over again. 5 minutes later, another one walked in. And people kept coming in, one after the other. And every time, out of respect to each student who showed up late, he started over again. All of a sudden, in walks Rabbi Chanina. And Rabbi Chanina is, let's say, the 20th person to walk in. The Gemara doesn't say how many, but it says, after a number of times starting over and over, suddenly Rabbi Chanina walks in, and all of a sudden, Rav decides, enough, I'm not starting over. And the Gemara says, Kule hai neder v'nezel, how many times do you want me to start over the shiur? Okay, the shiur ends, Rabbi Chanina leaves the room with everybody else, and they all start saying, hey, you know, Chanina, you should just know, Rav doesn't really think you're so important, because when I came in late, he started over. When Shimon came in late, he started over. When Levi came in late, and Yehuda, and Yisachar, and Zevulun, and everyone came late, he started over everyone. All of a sudden, in walks Chanina, and he ignored you, and he's not interested. It shows how Rav has no respect for you. You should just know. You should know that Rav really doesn't care so much about you. Rav Chanina was so hurt. The Gemara says that for 13 years in a row, Erev Yom Kippur, Rav went to ask Mechila from Rav Chanina, and Rav Chanina would not accept his request for Mechila. 13 years. 13 years in a row. Now, I would have said, if it was me, now I'm not, we're talking about the Gedolei Amoraim. I would have said, if I was Rav, after 2 years of asking, 3 years of asking, 4 or 5 years of asking Erev Yom Kippur, enough already, all right, he's a Meshugana, what can I do? He doesn't want to be mochel me. Well, I'm going to still go bang down his door. But Rav says, no. Rav Chanina is a very special person. and there must be something that I really did to hurt him terribly. I don't even realize how deep the pain is. So he's not forgiving me. I gotta keep going. I'm not going to give up. And every year he comes back, 13 years in a row, nothing doing. No mechila. Ask the Gemara the obvious question. Don't we know that it's appropriate to grant people mechila? So I don't understand, Rav Chanina, you're an Amora. You're a very special person. You're a tzaddik. What are you holding on to the grudge? 13 years because he embarrassed you one time when he was giving shir. He didn't show you the proper respect. So now 13 years later, you're still holding on to that? You're not willing to forgive him? Sounds a little excessive. Sounds a bit much. So the Gemara tells the following. The Gemara says that what happened was Rav Chanina had a dream. And in the dream, Rav Chanina saw that Rav was going to become the Rosh Hashiva. Now, what does that mean? Rashi explains that, and therefore he didn't forgive him. What does one have to do with the other? Rashi explains. So Rashi says, the truth is Rav Chanina was the Rosh Hashiva. When was the last time you heard of a yeshiva that has two Rashi yeshiva? Doesn't work. So Rav Chanina was worried, I saw in a dream that Rav is going to become the Rosh Hashiva. What does that mean? That means I'm going to die. Or I'm going to be incapacitated, I'm going to be sick, that I can't serve as Rosh Hashiva, in order that there should be room for Rav to become the Rosh Hashiva. I don't want that to happen. I don't want to die. So maybe if I don't grant him mechila, I make him uncomfortable enough, he'll go to another town, he'll go somewhere else, and he won't kick me out of my position. That's the way Rashi explains. Sounds like a joke, but that's what Rashi says. Rashi says, Rav Chanina chose not to be mochel him because he was afraid of the dream that he had that Rav was going to become Rosh Hashiva and kick him out of his position. What do you see from there? You see from there that if there's a reason, a personal reason, why I don't want to grant someone mechila, I am not obligated to give it to them. Like in this case, Rav Chanina chose not to give mechila because he didn't want to die, because he didn't want to get sick. Not because he held a grudge against Rav. What do you think? He's so petty? He's not petty. He understands. He just said there's something bigger going on here. And I don't want Rav to make me be kicked out of the position. So therefore, I'm not going to grant him mechila. He'll be uncomfortable enough and he'll leave. He'll go somewhere else. That was the plan. What you see from there is, the Taz writes, that even if a person is holding back from granting mechila for their own personal reasons, that's a legitimate reason not to give mechila. Now, the Ramah explains it a little bit differently. The Ramah changes the story, and the Ramah writes, no. It's not that he was concerned that Rav was going to kick him out of the position. What do you think? You're supposed to hold on to a position forever? If Rav is supposed to be the Rosh Hashiva, Hashem will make him the Rosh Hashiva. What happened? He saw in a dream that Rav was going to become the Rosh Hashiva. And he was concerned. You know what happens when someone becomes a Rosh Hashiva. They don't learn. They're fundraising and they're going speaking everywhere. This, that. He didn't want to take Rav out of the Beis Medrash. So he said, Rav, it's not good for you. He wanted to make sure it's not good for him to become the Rosh Hashiva. So long as he kept beating him down every year and saying, no, I'm not giving you mechila, Rav would never become the Rosh Hashiva. If that would happen, then Rav would be able to continue to learn. So he was doing it for the toeles, not of himself, but for the toeles of Rav, of the person who heard him. The Ramah says, listen to the Ramah, Hamoche lo yehe achzari milimcho. You shouldn't be so stubborn and say, I don't want to grant someone mechila. Imlo shemechaven letovas hamavakesh mechila. Unless the reason why I'm not granting mechila is because it's not good for the person for me to be mochel them. Say, for example, you have somebody who speaks very inappropriately to other people. And then they come to you and they say, oh, I'm really sorry. So if everybody keeps saying, yeah, it's fine, it doesn't matter, then they're going to keep doing that. But let's say some people say, you know what? I really don't appreciate it. And right now I'm not prepared to be mochel you. It will give the person pause to start thinking like, hey, maybe I need to reconsider how I talk to others. Maybe this is not an appropriate way to present myself in front of other people. And that will be a toeles for the chote himself. Says the Ramah, if that's the reason why you're not granting mechila, then it makes sense. So that is one exception to the rule. Another exception to the rule that is discussed in the Ramah is the following. Im hotzi alav shem ra, ein od tzarech limchalo. Says the Ramah, if somebody is motzi shem ra against me, somebody spreads negative information about me, ein od tzarech limchalo, I don't have to be mochel him. This is the Ramah as it's quoted in the Darkei Moshe. He quotes it from earlier Rishonim, and it's really based on Yerushalmi. That if the reason why I'm not being mochel is because someone was motzi shemer against me, that is a legitimate reason not to be mochel. Why? Explains the Mishnah Berurah. The reason why is because when I spread negative information about another person, let's say it gets to 1,000 people. When they come and ask me mechila, the 1,000 people are not going to hear about it. They're not going to hear the retraction. They heard the original. I remember a number of years ago, there was somebody who wrote a scathing attack on my father in the newspaper. The whole thing was completely false, made up. Literally the next week, this person wrote a private letter of apology to my parents. He sent an email asking for their mechila. And my father basically told me at the time that he said, I don't hold grudges against people. What, I'm going to sit around and be bitter my whole life about every person that ever attacked me? He said, I don't care. People attack me. It doesn't make a difference. I don't care. But he said, I will never, ever be mochel on the Kavodat Torah. He said, I represent much more than myself. I represent all of my Talmidim who are all over the world, teaching Torah, serving our Kodesh Baruch Hu's children. And that's not something that I have the ability to be mochel for. That's not in my hands. I don't want the person to be punished because of me personally. But I don't have the ability to be mochel for all that I represent. And I think that's a very important concept as well. Not always are we in a position to be mochel. Or, for that matter, when we ask mechila from someone where we did something publicly, the only way to get mechila for that is if we go to the same public space and put up a retraction. You wrote an article in the newspaper attacking someone, then go to the same newspaper and tell them that you were wrong and ask them to publish the same story with the new information. But usually that's not what happens, or I should say that never happens. So even when there's a retraction, it's something in the bottom somewhere, there's an asterisk that says, oh, by the way, we made a mistake. The information wasn't accurate. This wasn't true. But nobody goes and makes the same front page claim that they originally made in the salacious story that they put out in the papers. That's usually not what happens. And therefore, says the Ramah, if someone's motzi shemra against me, they have caused so much damage that there's no way to pull it back. There's no way to get rid of all that damage. They've convinced people of a narrative that's not true. And once that happens, there's no way to get that back into where it once was. So I don't have to grant mechila. What does mechila even mean? So take that to our case. Let's say you have somebody, Rachmana Litzlan, who is involved in a terrible act. And that person has caused horrific damage. Now they come and they ask you mechila. Are you mechuyiv to be mochel them? Well, the Ramah says, if someone's motzi shemra against me, I don't have to be mochel them. Why? Because we assume that that's irreparable damage. There's no way to undo the damage that they've done, the harm that they've caused. The same would be over here. There's no way to undo the terrible, terrible things that they have done to me. The molestation or whatever it is that they have done that's horrific. We don't assume that there's any way to undo that. And therefore, we have to assume that I'm not mechuyev to be mochel them. That's exactly what the Ramah is describing. It's no different than the case of a motzi shemra.